We just getting started, baby. Did anybody see what Mr. Wardell Steph Curry did to the Portland Trail Blazers? They were nobodies. They beat the Giants. Trash. They beat the Broncos. Trash. If you ever watched Dragon Ball Z, my mans was Super Saiyan. I couldn't wear this until we actually caught a dub. And he did all of this damage in 36 minutes. Let that sink in. They beat the Eagles, trash, the Cowboys, trash, the Bengals, trash, the Jaguars, trash. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here on Rob's Two Cents. My good people. Hello, world. Welcome back to the show that's hot with your boy, Rob Scott. This is Rob's Two Cents. What's going on, everybody? Hope everybody's having a good time so far. Hope you guys are being safe, especially my people in the Chicagoland area. As you know, man, we've been getting hit with the snow and the cold, and it's been snowing all day. So I hope you guys are being safe out there on the roads and safe during this early morning commute. Also, want to continue the theme of saying Happy Black History Month. As you know, we are still in the month of February, and I'm going to continue to celebrate my people and my culture, and as we celebrate the contributions we have made to this great, great nation called the United States of America. Also, I hope you guys noticed that I had a new intro, and we'll be having a new outro. That was created by my boy, Big Cal Norwood. I appreciate all his work and effort he is putting into making Rob's Two Cents a great and professional show. You guys holler at your boy Cal for any of your editing needs. My boy got you. He'll hook you up. His nickname is Frost because that boy cold. But you know me, I'm always going to be bigging up my people. And I can't wait to see the work that me and him are going to be doing in the future. Also, too. Saw a great Super Bowl game this weekend. So if you guys partied and have fun with the Super Bowl and festivities, I just hope you guys party safely. Yet, I hope you guys still had a great time. Because we don't want to think about the bad times. We want to let the good times roll in. And let me tell you who let the good times roll in. Tampa Bay. Now, if it's one thing that I've taught you on this show, is that you don't go against the GOAT. And while a lot of people may hate greatness, while a lot of people might hate those who are great at what they do, there is no denying that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time when it comes to the game of professional American football. Let me tell you what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to do. They went into the Super Bowl as the underdogs. As the forgotten ones, and were able to defeat the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs 31-9. Let's look on the Chiefs side of the football. Patrick Mahomes went 26-49, threw for 270 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Yes, my good people, I did not make a mistake when I said 0 touchdowns. That was not a typo. That was not an error. That was fact. 0 touchdowns throughout the game. Travis Kelce, however, he did show up. He contributed with 10 receptions for 133 yards. Of course, no touchdowns. And Tyreek Hill had 7 receptions for 73 yards with no touchdowns. However, if we look into the reception yards that he did receive, he kind of got that in garbage time where the game had already pretty much been decided. And we look at Tom Brady and the Buccaneers side of the ball. He was 21-29 for 201 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I mean, Tom Brady played a perfect game. Leonard Fournette had 16 carries for 89 yards, including 1 rushing touchdown. Also had 4 receptions for 46 yards in the air. Rob Gronkowski turned back the hands of times, was almost looking like Patriots Rob. Had 6 receptions for 67 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Antonio Brown came through, 5 receptions for 22 yards and 1 touchdown. Even on the defensive side of the ball, they had some studs with the Buccaneers, as Devin White had 12 tackles and one interception. And Antoine Whitfield Jr. had 6 tackles for one interception. And he just made life hard for the cheetah, Tyreek Hill. Now, they had a very, very funny exchange towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter. As you guys know, if you watch this podcast, you know I discussed what went down in week 12 when Kansas City first met the Bucs when they defeated the Buccaneers 27-24. We know in that first quarter of the game, Tyreek Hill ran for he had 203 reception yards in that game for 2 touchdowns. So on the first touchdown that he scored in the first quarter on the Buccaneers, he pretty much caught the ball, outran everybody. It became a racing contest. And as we know, you're not going to outrun the cheetah. And he was able to leave everybody in the dust, and was just so funny because he threw up the deuce sign as he was able to outrun everybody to the end zone. And then on the second, when he was so fast, on the second touchdown he caught on the day, that when he got to the 1 yard line, there was nobody behind him. He was able to turn around and do a backflip into the end zone for the score. So the Buccaneers never forgot that, because I know if I was a competitor for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I can't wait until we play Tyreek Hill again. Because as you know, at the end of that game, even though the Kansas City Chiefs won, in that second half of that game, Tom Brady came out firing, and he was able to bring that team back when they only lost by 3 points. So it kind of looked as if they figured Kansas City out, and we know after that they went on that winning streak where they didn't lose another game, going all the way into the Super Bowl undefeated since week 12. So we saw Antoine Whitfield Jr. get to exact a little bit of revenge, because he was able to stop Tyreek Hill on that reception. I believe that caused Kansas City to have to be 4-and-out. They turned the ball over on downs. And we saw Antoine Whitfield Jr. throw up the deuces to Tyreek Hill. And what was so funny was, as Tyreek was picking himself up off the ground, Antoine Whitfield literally squatted in front of him, made sure that Tyreek Hill looked at him and acknowledged that he was standing in front of him, and then proceeded to throw the deuce sign up. And then ran off the field, taking his penalty. But he didn't care at that point. He wanted to let Tyreek Hill know, this time I got you in this battle. And it was a great battle, man. Let's talk about what went down in that game. Both defenses, they came out firing. I mean, if we look at what Kansas City was able to do to Tom Brady, they was able to swarm Tom Brady. We look at what the Buccaneers were able to do to Pat Mahomes. They made him uncomfortable the whole game. They pressured him throughout the game. Actually, they pressured Pat Mahomes 29 times. That is the most in Super Bowl history that a quarterback has been pressured by the opposing team's defense. And they just made him run out of the pocket. That's why he had about 33 yards on the scramble. And he was able to get some great first downs in that first quarter on their first drives of the game. But the Buccaneers just made him feel uncomfortable. They did not let him get comfortable in the pocket. They were doubling Kelce and doubling Tyreek Hill. They were not going to let you beat them with your weapons. And then, like I said, if we look at what Kansas City was able to do to Tom Brady, the Chiefs were able to just swarm them. They were able to get Tom uncomfortable at first, even ended in an early first quarter sack. But Tom Brady was able to get into a groove, and he was able to score on a last-minute drive to Rob Gronkowski to end the first quarter, and that made the score 7-3. Now, the Chiefs were able to make a huge defensive statement, stopping the Buccaneers on 4 downs as they got down to the goal line, and they kept trying to rush the ball in, but that defense would not budge, and they were able to hold up and not allow the Buccaneers to score, which I do understand why the Buccaneers went for that, because it was 4th down We got you guys trapped in our end zone anyway, so even if we don't score, we still have a good chance of getting you on the three and out and still keeping ourselves in touchdown range and, you know, in red zone territory. So the Chiefs were able to make that defensive statement, and then what they were able to do was they got Tom Brady to throw an interception in the game. He threw it to Tyrann Mathieu, also known as Honey Badger, for the Kansas City Chiefs. However, a defensive holding call got that call overturned, and the Buccaneers were able to continue their drive. They played so much like the Patriots yesterday. That's who I thought they were. But the Buccaneers were able to continue their drive. Now, the Buccaneers were about to settle for a field goal. They were able to kick the field goal to get it in. However, another penalty call was called on the Kansas City Chiefs as they were called for being offsides. So now you give Tom Brady new life in which he hits Gronkowski again for another score. Then you see the Chiefs, they were not able to do anything. They were able to come down there. They got another field goal. But as you can see, it was just the writing on the wall. After you saw that second touchdown from Gronkowski, we kind of knew, you know, what the tempo of the game was, what the tone. The tone had already been set. Tampa Bay came to play. So then in that second half, Tom Brady was able to get a last-second touchdown to Antonio Brown. And as you know, the Buccaneers, they like to score on those last-second drives, on those last-minute drives, especially before the halftime. They want you to know that they came to play. So they were able to get a 27-yard rushing touchdown in the third quarter, making a score 28-9, and then Tampa Bay would kick one more field goal, and it'll pretty much be over with for the Kansas City Chiefs. As I mentioned, they were not able to score a single touchdown in this game. 29 times Mahomes was pressured. 4 times Brady was pressured. As I said, that 29 times made this the most times in Super Bowl history that a quarterback was pressured that much. They would not let Mahomes get comfortable throughout the whole game, and that's exactly what you have to do to a type caliber quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. Now, what this conversation and what this game should have done was nip in the bud any conversation of who the GOAT is in professional football, because Tom Brady answered that question, because he made history Sunday night. Now, as we know, Tampa Bay became the first city to host a Super Bowl and to have its team play in that Super Bowl that is hosting, and then they went on to win that Super Bowl, having the ultimate home field advantage. Now, Brady and Gronk were able to connect twice for touchdowns in that game, and on the first touchdown, they became the best duo now in NFL Super Bowl history by having the most touchdown connections in a Super Bowl game. That record was previously held by Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, who were sitting at 12. So Tom Brady and Gronkowski made that 13 and 14 because they were tied with them going into the game. So now they have 14 touchdown connections in the Super Bowl game, and both players are saying that they want to come back for one more run. So we can only imagine that that number could possibly get bigger. Also, Tom Brady became the first starting quarterback to win a Super Bowl in two conferences, NFC and AFC. And Tom Brady also captured his 5th Super Bowl MVP award, making this the most MVP awards in Super Bowl game history. So Tom Brady right now broke a lot of records. And let me just tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that Tom Brady is the GOAT. Now, Tampa Bay, let me tell you about the road traveled in order for Tampa Bay to make such a historic Super Bowl run. Tampa Bay came in as a wild card entering the playoffs. So that means they didn't get a bye week. They didn't get an off week. They had to play each and every game, and not only play each and every game, they had to play each and every game on the road. So they came in first. As we know, Washington had this, I believe, the second best ranked defense at the time, even though they were out their quarterback. Chad Henne Thing Is Possible came in and played a great game. Not Chad Henne. I'm sorry, that Heineke, that rhymes with Heineken. Heineke was able to come in and play a great game for the for the Washington football team. However, we saw that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to overcome that obstacle. Now, the second game that they had to overcome was against the New Orleans Saints, who had the fourth best ranked defense in the league. Not only that, they had Drew Brees as the quarterback. As we know, Drew Brees will be a future Hall of Famer. And not to mention earlier in that season, in the two games they played, the New Orleans Saints were able to be the only team to ever make Tom Brady lose in a divisional regular season game series where he was swept. The New Orleans Saints had won both games. So that was the first time in Tom Brady's illustrious career that he was ever swept by a divisional rival in the regular season games that they played. In their first game, they beat them handily, where I believe the score was like 38-3 when New Orleans made Tom Brady throw three interceptions. He had no touchdowns, and he probably had his worst game of his career. But they were able to bounce back in the playoffs, and Tom Brady and those boys were able to overcome that obstacle and probably will be the reason that Drew Brees will not be back and will now be a retired veteran in a game of professional football. Then we look at what they did against Green Bay, another road game where they had to travel to Lambeau in the cold. Now, I know Tom Brady is used to that, being from New England, that his previous team was from New England, and he was used to playing in the cold, but not everybody is like that. You have a lot of young people on this team, and they might not experience anything like Lambeau. And let me tell you, I live in Chicago, and it gets cold here. I can't imagine how cold it gets in Wisconsin. But they were able to go to Lambeau against Aaron Rodgers, knowing that they had beat them during the regular season, and in their minds was confidence that they could once again get a victory over Green Bay. And you got to remember what Green Bay was doing at that time. Not only were they the best team in the NFC, but they were being led by, right now, the MVP. As we just saw on Saturday, Aaron Rodgers was crowned the MVP. So you got an MVP-led team who's the number one team in your respective conference, and you have to go play them in the freezing tundra known as Lambeau Stadium. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to overcome that obstacle. And why were they able to overcome that obstacle? Because they had the GOAT leading them. And then we know what Tampa Bay just did against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady just raising the elevation of everybody's play. And that offense was able to click at the right time. And the weapons that Tom Brady personally bought in himself. Remember, he recruited Leonard Fournette. He bought Antonio Brown. Tom Brady made the call to Rob Gronkowski to come play for the Buccaneers. And those happened to be the three players that had the most impact on the game, at least on the offensive side of the ball, besides Tom Brady. So you have to not only look at Tom Brady as the head coach, because, yes, I believe that when Tampa Bay went on that winning streak, Tom Brady began calling the plays. And then you have to look at Tom Brady as, of course, the star quarterback. And then you have to look at Tom Brady as the GM, making the moves and bringing certain players in to make success happen for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now you look at Tom Brady as being the greatest of all time, because in his illustrious 20-year career, he has seen a Super Bowl game 10 times, and out of those 10 times he went to the Super Bowl game, Tom Brady won 7 of them and even captured 5 MVPs of that game. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., that boy cold. And Tom Brady said he's ready to do it again. So I cannot wait to see what kind of offseason moves the Buccaneers are going to be making. They got quite a few people that are now free agents. And I know knowing Tom Brady, he kind of has a similar mindset to a LeBron James. He understands that you have to get better with the times, that how we won last year is not going to be the way that we win in the next year to come. So I know that the Buccaneers are going to be making some moves to put Tom Brady in a position to be even more successful. But speaking of great leaders, I have to jump to the NBA side of things because Chris Paul has had a tremendous impact on the Phoenix Suns. Let's look at what Phoenix has been doing so far this year. Phoenix currently sits in fourth place in the Western Conference at 13-9. They are 23rd in points per game. It's okay. They're 13th in rebounds per game. It's not bad. 9th in assists per game. And that could be thanks to Chris Paul. And 4th in opponents' points per game. So what they are doing, they are playing defense, which is a rarity in today's NBA. But they are making it tough on teams to score as they rank 4th in opponents' points per game. They're 4-1 in their last 5 games that they've played. They've beat Dallas twice, lost to the Pelicans, but were able to come back to beat Detroit and then also beat the Boston Celtics. Now, let's look at the games that they beat Dallas. CP3 had first, in that first game that they beat Dallas at Dallas, CP3 had 29 points, 12 assists, 3 rebounds in the first game, and Devin Booker didn't play due to illness. But he did make his return in the second game, in which they were still at Dallas. And when he was able to return, Chris Paul still went crazy. Had 32 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals. Now, in the game that they lost against the Pelicans, however, he only had 10 points and 4 assists, but he was able to get back on track with his winning ways against Detroit with a 20.9 assists and 7 rebound performance. Now, on Sunday's win versus Boston, he had 15 points, 2 assists, and 3 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Paul had 1 block. But Devin Booker took over the helm as the floor general, dishing out 11 dimes. Now, as you see, CP3's leadership is an asset to his game, and he's able to rub off on players, whether that be his mental toughness or his regular toughness. I mean, let's look at the game that the Phoenix Suns went against the Clippers. We saw that the Clippers, when Paul George started to get a little too mouthy, man, Devin Booker came and put him in his place. We didn't see Devin Booker do that before. And not to say anything wrong with that. You know, this is a physical game. Sometimes it's going to be a little chirping. It's going to be a little talking. But it was just a refreshing feeling to see Devin Booker stand up for his team and stand up for himself. Now, we know Paul George, he got the right to talk mess. You know, even though I did a shame on you segment on Paul George, we're not going to deny the fact that PG-13 is one of the better guards in the NBA, if not in the top 5 as far as 2 guards go. But it was just good to see Devin Booker stand up for himself and give Paul George a piece of his mind. And we also see Devin Booker becoming more of a floor general, becoming more of a person who's aware of what he can do. He can do more than just score the ball. Devin Booker has the potential to be the clutch performer on his team. He could be the floor general on his team. His game is very smooth. He's very elusive with the ball. So you see Chris Paul starting to bring that out of him. I also like the toughness that's rubbing off on DeAndre Ayton, as he has times where he looks like a very dominant big man in the league. So I am very, very interested to see how this Phoenix Suns team is going to fare. Now, if we look at Chris Paul's history in the playoffs, the only question I think is going to be, can Chris Paul stay healthy and help this team make a deep playoff run? That question is yet to be answered, but we're going to be keeping our eyes on the Phoenix Suns. Also, in the world of the NBA, we saw some great performances on Saturday night that unfortunately still resulting in losing efforts. We saw Nikola Jokic and Steph Curry. Now, let me tell you what happened. Let's start off with Steph. Now, on Saturday evening, the Golden State Warriors, they lost to the Dallas Mavericks in a very close game. 134-132 was a very back-and-forth game. Luka and Steph was just phenomenal. But we saw Steph Curry go for 57 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, and 2 steals. to get his 57, he was 19-31 from the field, 11-19 from the three-point line, and 8-8 from the free throw line. So Steph was hot, but his team was not. And he was looking like a guy that was pretty much out there by himself. We saw the previous game that they played against Dallas that Kevin Oubre was able to give Steph a little help. But he had 40 points on that game, but clearly that was an aberration because Kelly Oubre was nowhere to be found for that game that they lost in the back-to-back effort against Dallas. Now, we do know for the Golden State Warriors that they are without Pascal, they are without Wiseman, and they are without Looney. That's three of their big men. So they are very, very little right now, and Porzingis was able to take advantage of that in the second game that they played against the Golden State Warriors. And then we saw Saturday evening, we saw the Denver Nuggets lose against the Sacramento Kings. The Kings right now on a 5-game winning streak and look to be a serious contender in the Western Conference. But we saw the Nuggets lose 119-114 as the Joker went for 50 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. How he got his 50, he was 20-33 from the field, 3-6 from the three-point line, and 7-7 from the free throw line. So we saw some great performances from those two athletes. And right now, I honestly believe that Steph Curry is making a case for MVP as he's averaging 29.6 assists and 5 rebounds on the season. Got a couple quick hits for you. We got Derrick Rose. We know he's been traded to the New York Knicks, and this will be the second stint with this New York franchise and his second stint with Tom Thibodeau as his coach. So I'm definitely interested to see how that's going to play out in New York, especially when they're able to hopefully get fans back at the Garden. Also, we saw the NFL Awards happen this past Saturday evening. I'm going to just give you a quick rundown of who won what. We saw Aaron Rodgers, of course, from the Green Bay Packers, as I called it, win the season MVP award. This is the third time that he's received this prestigious award. We saw Aaron Donald of the Los Angeles Rams, win the Defensive Player of the Year award. We saw Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans be named the Offensive Player of the Year. As we know, Derrick Henry ran for over 2,000 yards this year and also had 3 games in which he ran over 200 yards in a single game. We also saw Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers win not only the Offensive Rookie of the Year, but also won Rookie of the Year honors as well. And we saw Chase Young, that stud from the Washington Football Team, win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Also, they named who were going to be in the up-and-coming Hall of Fame entries. Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, and Peyton Manning, who they said only took 13 seconds to decide if he was going to be a Hall of Famer first ballot, will be headlining this year's NFL Hall of Fame class. Also, we saw on Friday, Kevin Durant did not start for the Brooklyn Nets versus the Toronto Raptors due to COVID protocols. Supposedly, KD had interacted with someone. They didn't specify whether he was somebody part of the organization or if this was an associate of Kevin Durant, but clearly he interacted with somebody who later on tested positive for the COVID-19 disease. Now, the situation with that was a weird one because what happened was it was supposed to be that KD was not going to play in the game at all versus the Toronto Raptors on Friday. So what happened was that from what I'm reading and understanding, that Kevin Durant, his test came back negative. So I was assuming that they were going to let him play. But however, whoever he interacted with, they kept saying that the tests were inconclusive. So it didn't come back to a positive rating until later that evening while he was already into the game. Now, he did not start in this game. However, he did come in the second quarter, played a little bit of the third, where he was then told to leave the game due to the fact that they found out that that person did indeed have COVID-19 and Kevin Durant had to leave. We saw him going back and forth with the NBA through various tweets, which he, I understand his frustration because if I've already tested positive and I've already played in this game, Just let me continue to play and do what's best for my team to help us get this W. So I believe Kevin Durant is going to have to sit out the next three games. He won't be back until early Friday, but hopefully we get to see him in primetime basketball this upcoming weekend as the Brooklyn Nets will be going against the Golden State Warriors. Now, as we get towards the end of my show, I want to continue to celebrate the Black History Month by giving flowers to a man that is still here with us. To the king, to the GM, as I like to call him, LeBron James. Now, we know what LeBron James has done as a player in the world of the NBA. We know that he is a four-time champion, that he's been to the NBA Finals 10 times, eight of those times in a row. He's a 16-time All-Star. Appearance is coming up on 17 as he's celebrating 18 years in the NBA. LeBron James, we know what he's done on the court. What I want to put shine light on is what he's done for my community, which, and when I say my community, I'm talking about my Black people, and what he's done for our culture. As we know, LeBron James has opened up the avenues for many people. He set the blueprint on how to come up together. We see what he's done with his friends. You know, one of his friends being the owner of Clutch Sports, which is the firm that they sign assign agents to certain players and get them deals. Rich Paul being one of the better agents in the league, and Clutch Sports having such a powerful name and powerful presence in the world of the NBA. We know what he's done with his friend Maverick, who, you know, the shows like The Shop, which is a great show, by the way, and his awareness that he brings to certain topics like mental health, certain topics like the Black athlete. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Also, we saw what LeBron has done in the community, making the I Promise School, taking kids that have been forgotten about or, you know, might be failing in school, and what he's done is giving them a second chance on life. He's done some great things. You know, they provide scholarships to these kids. They provide transportation, whether those be bus passes or they give you bikes and they give you helmets. It's a completely tuition-free school. And it just, you can tell that it just shined a light in LeBron's hometown of Akron, which even though he plays for the Los Angeles Lakers, he continues to show that city that they are his first love and that he will always have a special place in his heart for his hometown. And then also with the More Than a Vote initiative, what they were able to do, you know, making deals with these sports arenas to set up polling stations to allow, you know, minorities to come vote, and showing and educating Black people on the importance of not just voting in the presidential elections, but voting in your local elections, choosing who you want as aldermen, who you want as representatives of your county, representatives of your state, you know, who you choose as a mayor, who you choose as governor. These all play a part in bringing more equality to us as Black people, because the more we're able to weed these racist people out, these people who continue to think like the old school traditional ways of keeping us down, we are starting to slowly weed them out of office and put people there who is going to write laws and bring into legislation more laws that give us equality, that give us a fair chance of home ownership, of better pay, of great health care. These are the things that are important to a person like LeBron James, and I definitely appreciate what he's done, you know, his his always conscious awareness of what's going on in the world, whether it be, you know, Tavon Martin, whether it be Breonna Taylor, whether it be George Floyd. LeBron has always spoke out against bigotry, and, you know, even the support he showed Colin Kaepernick at a time when everybody else turned their back on him. LeBron was one of those superstars to stand with him and to let them know that, you know, he's more than an athlete. He's more than a person that just dribbles a ball. LeBron James is a concerned citizen who sees what goes on in the world. And even though he might not personally be affected by it due to the fact that he is LeBron James, he understands that his kids have to grow up in this. And I cannot teach my kid or my son to be a man or my daughter to be a great, strong woman to stand up for what they believe in if they see me be quiet and just dribble a basketball. So I appreciate everything that LeBron James does for the black community. It does for people all across America. And I hope that everybody join me in giving a person like that his flowers while he's here, rather than waiting until something happens in order to acknowledge the great things that that person has done. So I appreciate you, LeBron. I truly thank you. And any way that I can stand with you and support you on this continued battle of equality, I'm willing to stand right there with you in the front lines, my friend. And that has been the end of my show, my good people. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Man, I'm a little sad that the football season is over with, but I'm going to be definitely keeping track on off-season moves. I'm trying to get into baseball. You guys might hear me talk a little bit more about wrestling as I have a little bit more time to kind of introduce you guys back into the product known as professional wrestling, with WWE, with Impact Wrestling, with AEW, with New Japan. There's just so many good things going on right now in the world of sports and entertainment. I appreciate all the love and support that you guys continue to show. I have such a great time just coming on here and conversing with my good people about sports and telling you everything that's hot in the world of sports. So I appreciate you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Rob's Two Cents. Hope you guys continue to be great. And you guys know the slogan, y'all. We go! There's a bigger fight going on. There's a much bigger agenda than the streets. And I know sometimes it's hard to see that far in front of us, but we have to look past the illusions, look past the delusions of grandeur, and look at the bigger picture. We need to become better versions of ourselves each and every day. Fight for what you believe in. Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. We just getting started, baby. You guys know the slogan now. Hope you all have a great evening. And